This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, General Manager of WDCX and one of your co-hosts on the show, alongside Ryan Cozy. Ryan, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, my man?
Good. Ryan's the pastor of Missional Engagement, the chapel at Crosspoint. We're coming together to bring you Christ Together Radio, a radio show that just kind of reflects what God is doing in the Christian community and in the community at large in Western New York, how he's bringing people together to be on mission for him. As a result of that, in this show, we're going to be bringing you different Christian leaders from different contexts, different places, who are coming together under the Christ Together banner. Christ Together is a national kind of collective, a national organization, and this is a local reflection of what's happening there. Ryan's a part of it nationally, right, Ryan?
Yeah, I just got back from meetings in Columbia, South Carolina yesterday with national leadership, yeah.
Yeah, and also locally kind of heading it up here. And last week we brought you John Longwell, who's the lead pastor at Grace Church, and Josh Hamlin, who's lead pastor at New Covenant Tabernacle. We talked about some of the issues that happen when we come together from different denominational contexts underneath the mission of the gospel, and how we can come together and start to trust each other as friends first. And, you know, when there's doubts that creep in or we're wondering what somebody's doing, how that friendship, that relationship matters. And Ryan, relationship really is everything, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the end goal of what we're trying to do is see the full saturation of the gospel happen in this region. We talked earlier shows about 1.2 million people. And a lot of times we tend to be turbocharged around, okay, that's a big outcome. There's a lot that needs to be done, da-da-da-da-da. But I've kind of, in the last few years, I've adopted a little bit of a mantra from a friend of mine who just said, hey, look, at the end of the day, slow is fast. So, and you know, I kind of was like, well, what do you mean exactly? And he started talking about just needing the benefit of the doubt relationally in order to see things happen. And so relationships are key toward the outcome of saturation. It's not that we get lost in friendship and we don't do anything. Mm-hmm. It's that we are committed to a common outcome, but we need to get to know each other better in this process. And if that's not happening, it puts us in a tough spot when friction or loving disagreement arises, and that does happen. It will. It's a guarantee that that happens when you're doing Greater Body Partnership.
All right. It's 11 a.m., and we're still drinking coffee like crazy. So yes, we're going to be amped the rest of the day. And if you're just tuning us in, maybe you're driving home from church, or maybe you're listening today because you're homesick from church, or you went to church this morning or going later on or whatever, or you're just checking out what this whole Christian thing is about, Christian radio. We want you to come along for the next hour. We're going to get real. We're going to talk about real issues. We're going to kind of work through some stuff, and we're going to talk about some practical ways in which churches and Christian leaders can come together under the banner of the gospel and work together for God's kingdom. And we had a great show last week with Pastor John and Pastor Josh. And a couple weeks before that, we had Dan Trippion. We've talked about some great things. Listen, if you have questions, I want you to email us at ctr@wdcxradio.com. That stands for Christ Together Radio, ctr@wdcxradio.com. Or also go on the WDCX Radio website, go under programs and look at Christ Together Radio. You can click on that, get to know more about Ryan, get to know more about yourself, although I don't know why you'd want to do that. I'm on this horn all the time. So, and also kind of some of our guests will post what's coming up in future weeks. And we just want you to be along for this ride and join in with us. So it's Christ Together Radio. We're going to be back in just a minute with Pastor John and Pastor Josh.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brett Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, pastor of Missional Living at the Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson, Ryan Cozy, your co-host on Christ Together Radio. And we have, as we mentioned before the break, we have Pastor John Longwell in studio, Pastor Josh Hamlin in studio. And we've been talking about how they can come together, how they're kind of representatives of what happens when people begin to break bread together, trust each other. They've come from different denominational contexts, coming together for the sake of the gospel. And what I want to do this week, Pastor Josh and Pastor John, is find maybe some practical ways that this begins. We've talked about kind of the philosophy and what underpins working together for the gospel. And I want to kind of talk about maybe some of the hurdles, some of the issues, and then some of the realities of what we can do together and maybe where we can start. And maybe just invite our friends listening to join in with us and kind of get a front row seat to how this can work together as pastors. Josh, what are some of the issues that you face as a lead pastor when you come together with a church that maybe is a little different than yours? Are your people, like, do they care at all? Or do you ever face criticism? Is there questioning that happens that you have to walk through some pretty sensitive things on your end?
I think for me, it's been pretty easy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's everybody's experience, but most people that are part of our church have been phenomenal with it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's been an easy process. Something that they've embraced. They enjoy getting to know the greater body of Christ, and they know that through the relationships and the way that we talk about each other.
Really?
Out of these Christ Together groups, yeah.
Wow. So you're
yeah. So it's been really
so
good.
So for a radio guy, you're kind of a bummer.
Yeah, but I can
no,
talk.
There's
I can
no
talk,
drama.
Well, I can talk about how it happens. We can talk kidding. About some of the issues that we've faced.
Well, maybe talk about some of the issues you faced.
So maybe 2 weeks ago, I had a conversation. One of my friends from Christ Together group called me up, said, "Hey, let's have lunch," kind of last minute, and did that. And halfway through lunch, he said, "Hey, listen, last time I was at your place," which is, that's a great story, right? That we have
he
pastors
there,
being
yeah.
in each other's churches. So I picked up one of your, you know, kind of what we believe or what we practice brochures that we have around. I don't even know if we have them around still. And he said, "There was something in there that just kind of bothered me, and I just wanted to ask you about it. You know, can I ask you, because it made me feel like I know you and we've talked for years and, you know, we've worked together on stuff, but this one thing kind of made me feel like your theology made me feel excluded," or which great question, like not a bad question at all. In fact, I said, "Listen, thank you for bringing that up. We'll cover that, but thank you for bringing up that something that we produce that's put out to our guests and our visitors, people that might not even know Christ, would make them feel excluded, because we don't want that. We don't want to have these plaques up that say this is who we are, and if you can't be this, then you can't be with Jesus. That's, you know, counterintuitive." And so we had a great conversation around that. And it happened over lunch. It happened over tacos. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
and
good tacos.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I found is it's hard to have. It's great to have a difficult meeting over food, because you're not going to walk away from the food.
Yeah, right. And there's other people around too.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So you know, if he was going to punch me, it would happen later.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And that wouldn't happen. But we had a great time together, and we were able to talk through that, and we were able to get into some of the nuance of the theological issue that we were talking about. That we really do agree on most of that. And so for us, it was a great practical walkthrough, but also it was a great opportunity to refine the way that we lead. He's coming from another denominational background, but he's refining the way that I pursue what God's called me to pursue and what I believe, which I think is a huge benefit.
That is huge. And so that was Pastor Josh Hamlin, pastor at New Covenant Tabernacle, and I'm personal friends with both of these guys. From different walks of life, you know, Josh and I are help coach sports teams with our sons on it, and Pastor John Longwell of Grace Church I've known for 20 years, and I've been involved in ministry with. I serve on his board of elders, and so both of these guys are friends of mine, and that's why they're here, because I can speak to both of their characters coming from two different denominations, but both of them have just tremendous character, and that really speaks to the pastor that called you, to his character, rather
Absolutely.
Than go to his board and say, "Look what they did," and you know that's just a wrong way to handle stuff. And that relationship built allowed him to pick up the phone without threat or fear and just say, "Hey, man, can we talk?" And then I think that is huge. And I think that's what the body of Christ looks like. And two pastors getting together doing that emulates that for the rest of the church, really, doesn't it, Ryan?
Yeah, it does. I mean, the reality is when these, you said it really well, like I got a call from a pastor in my Christ Together group, said, "Hey, let's get lunch." That's sort of foundational reality that is happening more and more and more. And it doesn't, you know, some people think, it's a smaller church, they need that. Hey, man, I'm in a pretty big church, and I need this. I need to have these sorts of meetings. And, you know, it's funny, because I, as Josh, as you were talking, I thought about, you know, I personally have had conversations with people that attend our church a little bit different than the scenario that you just described, but where they just say, hey, you know, I don't know that because of what you all believe with this, I'm a little bit different here. Still within Orthodox Christianity, but I'm more over here. Mm-hmm. And we're living in a day and age of partnership in the region where we can actually say to them, okay, well, just tell me, where do you live? I live over here. Okay, great. Here are three or four churches that may be a better fit for you that are a part of a collective of churches that we're a part of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, perhaps this may be a better fit for you. Go check it out. And you know, people, like, kind of the inside joke with pastors is like, well, were they high maintenance? No, not really. These are good people. They just have perhaps some just loving disagreement on certain things. And it's just nice to live in a region and in a day and age, and again, still have plenty of room to grow and much more work to be done. Absolutely. In this area. But just to be able to point them to a partner church in the region and say, you may want to consider going here. If that's something that you're very passionate about, we're not as passionate about it, you may want to go here and try to have an effective, healthy kingdom handoff, you know. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. that's not always been the case, but yeah. to live in a day and age like that today is fun.
Pastor John, as this begins to play out in your own life, are you excited about an opportunity to maybe live as an example to people in your church as to what it could look like to work out or work with people with different disagreements?
Well, I am. And when I get to that point, uh-huh. you know, I am. Right now, I'm you know, I'm still trying to figure all this out.
Right.
And I am deeply entrenched in my past, and I have found it to be a very secure place. Mm-hmm. And so as I work through this, there is one thing that I keep coming back to, and I can't wait. I'm going to start a new series on the Gospel of John, and I cannot wait, because one thing that just drives everything in my life now, not just how I lead, but everything in my life, and that is the mission of Christ. Mm-hmm. That was the heart of Jesus, was the hope he was offering that to mm-hmm. everyone, mm-hmm. not just people that agreed with him. In fact, we find that he engaged so many people that actually disagreed with and didn't understand with him. That's who he sought. And that for me is what's happening in my heart, and that's starting to really translate in how I do ministry and how I lead. Mm-hmm. And I have gotten to the point, and this is where I'm actually at right now, and that is how much I need this. Mm-hmm. So this is more personal. I listened to Josh, and he said they've always embraced this, and that's awesome. I can't wait to get to that point. Mm-hmm. But right now, it's I really need this. I need to have these conversations. I need that. Right. Very personal. Mm-hmm. As a pastor, shepherd, you know. And I know that it's going to come. And in fact, if some of our Grace people are listening to this broadcast, mm-hmm. I want to have this conversation with you. Let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. And let's really seek the heart of Jesus as our motivation. And right. and that to me is something growing up. You know, I'm not saying that we lost that perspective, but that perspective took a back burner to the things we stood against. Yeah. That's what I remember.
Hmm. Yeah. Growing up Baptist, you didn't drink, smoke, or chew, or run with girls that do.
That right? was our motto. That was it right there, buddy.
That's just fantastic. Don't go with girls that chew.
Yeah, or I don't drink, smoke, or chew, or go with girls that do.
That's just for the record.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That just for the record, we're down with that. In these
yeah. Well,
it's like wow, that's.
I don't think I know your wives. I don't think they chew tobacco.
We can partner around that.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
So, hey, just an observation. Yeah. So here's one thing I like about just the network of activity that's going on in this region. For a guy who's coming in, Pastor John, you're coming in and you're saying, this is very new to me. Okay, there's a place for him to be able to grow and to learn in this. But here's, and this is the tension, but this is what I love. But at the same time, there's guys that are 8 years down the road on this going, hey, I was there 8 years ago. I'm glad to see you here, and I'm looking forward to you growing on this journey. I've passed that, and this is what we're doing now.
Yeah.
And so for me, you know, just to know that this collective of pastors can identify, hey, this is another kingdom partner, okay, and here's where he's at in the journey. Fantastic. Let's make sure that we're building relationship with him. But at the same time, we're doing work together, and there's some meaningful activity going. Mm-hmm. Not okay, everybody stop. Pastor John, now he's on a journey. He's got to grow in this, and mm-hmm. I mean, just what you're saying. No, there's place for that, but there's also the opportunity, because here's what I think. I think that part of what helps folks that are on the front end of this, when they see the practical application of the kingdom.
They see it happening.
The 8 years down the road dudes that are going after this, guys and gals, and you're going, oh, wow, okay. I think there's pedagogically, we get taught through that.
Right.
And so, but I love that it's a place where he can come in, and I also love that it's a place where we can continue to bale hay down the road.
Right. You know? Ryan, I want to ask you this. We've talked a lot about how coming together and working together. We're not saying, and I think this is Christ Together's heart.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying you have to drop your denomination or your theological systems ideas, correct?
Right. Yeah, no, not at all. You know, we talked about this just briefly in the last episode, but I think it's probably helpful to the listener to understand what the Lausanne Covenant is.
Yeah,
we
keep referring
toward.
To this covenant. Yeah.
And so basically it came out in the early 70s. I think John 74. Stott was a big part of that at the Lausanne Conference in Lausanne, Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And what they kind of came to a discovery of, I remember listening to a Piper podcast on this, was back then – they were celebrating the reality that they had brought the gospel to all of the continents. But then there was just this sobering reality, which was, yeah, we may have brought it to all the continents, but we've only brought it to a few thousand people groups. And there's, at that time, I think there was like close to 15,000 people groups. So the idea of like, hey, we're not celebrating, there's much more work to be done. But within that, there's a general understanding with Lausanne, which is, hey, you know, and I'm going to boil it down to be very simple. Jesus is the way. He's not a way. He's the way. The Trinity, it's mysterious, but it's the real deal. God in three persons, okay? The Bible is authoritative in our lives. It is the Word of God. And finally, we need to do collectively something about the evangelization of the place that God has put us in.
Mm-hmm.
So it, as a general point of reference, that covenant is something that a variety of churches can rally around. And they can be Assemblies of God tradition. They can be in the Baptist tradition. The only thing that we really desire in this process is that you allow firsthand issues to remain firsthand issues, and you allow secondhand issues to be points of spirited debate.
Mm-hmm.
And those things do happen. Mm-hmm. And the people that don't, you know, hey, I've got a hold to this. It's not a great place of partnership for them.
Right.
In the past, we used to feel like, gosh, we feel really bad about that. But it's to the point now where we're like, well, this is what we rally around, and this mm-hmm. is what we're doing. And as God begins to work in your heart, you want to come back to the table. That's great. But this table is rallying around these points of orthodoxy.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's huge, because there are people who ascribe to denominational names who might actually take things to extremes. And that's why Lausanne is so important, because it talks about Jesus only.
Yeah.
is the source of our salvation, and sometimes, you know, stuff gets stuck in there. If it's baptism, yeah. You know, if it's baptism or if it's the Holy Spirit gifts or whatever, adding to salvation, then there's an issue. But Jesus first, and then these second tier issues are second tier issues. And,
yeah.
And almost like you said, almost anybody in Orthodox Christianity agrees.
Yeah. And the reality, like just to give the listener a good example. Okay. So what are some of those difficult conversations? Well, some of them have to deal with, praying in tongues.
Yep.
Okay. For, do we work with those who pray in tongues? Yep. We mm-hmm. do. Does everybody in our group pray in tongues? Nope. They don't. What about the role of women? You know, like the egalitarian point of view, which is that, you know, men and women are equal and they share the same roles. The complementarian, which is men and women are equal, but they have different roles.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have both of those people in the room working toward the evangelization of the region? Yep. Do they have points of spirited debate out in the parking lot or over a meal? Yeah, you better mm-hmm. believe they do.
Mm-hmm.
The Reformed versus the Arminian. Now, I'm personally, hey, I'm kind of a charismatic Reform.
You're so a whack job.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding.
But
there
are people that would go, oh man, Coz, I didn't know that you were charismatic and more Reformed. It's like, okay. But will I work with a Wesleyan? Yeah, we will, because we agree in the evangelization of this region. Right. And these are going to be rallying points for us. Jesus, Scripture, Trinity, authority of God's word, evangelization of region.
I love it. When we come back from this break, we're just going to take a break here in a minute. I don't want you to go away. It's going to be a very quick break. And then we're going to come back and talk about practical ways that this plays out. And maybe even some practical things. I loved how you started to hit on real things.
Yeah.
We're talking all around these issues. Let's talk about what they are.
That's what I mean.
And I love that. So we're going to come back in just a minute. You're listening to Christ Together Radio, CTR at WDCXradio.com. CTR at WDCXradio.com if you want to email us. Go to WDCX Radio's website. Click on Programs and Christ Together Radio to get more information. Ryan Cozy, Brett Larson, and our two pastor friends will be back in just a minute.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard or just about anything you can think of. Send them to CTR at WDCXradio.com. That's CTR at WDCXradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Brett Larson, your co-host, along with Ryan Cozy, the other co-host. And we're here talking with John Longwall and Josh Hamlin about how churches from different denominations come together, what that looks like. We talked about it last week. We're getting more into it this week. Ryan Cozy just kind of gave us a reality check of what some of these issues might be. And I think it's good to be honest with each other and talk through what things look like for either person. And John, I want to just kick it to you real quick. And in your context in leading a Baptist style church, Baptist theological church, there are certain distinctives, certain things that set that apart. And they're important. We're not saying they're not for any church. Any of the distinctives are. But what are some of the points of difficulty in navigating this? You're early on in the journey. You've told us that. So what are some of the points of difficulty maybe with your people in the church, people that you're called to shepherd, leadership, and other people within your kind of connectivity and church experience, maybe other Baptist churches or whatever. Is there a fear on your end of backlash or people questioning your ability to lead or whatever?
Yeah, well, there's always fear, mm-hmm. you know, because as a pastor, you'd understand, you know, as a shepherd, we lead, feed, and protect. And when mm-hmm. anything threatens that ability to lead or feed people or protect them, then, of course, you're aware of it.
Yeah.
You know, I guess the biggest thing that I really, really value is trust. Yeah. Not only my ability to trust people, but for people to trust me. And that doesn't come easy, you know, and the respect that comes out of that and the honor that comes out of that. I don't mean personal honor, but the fact that you give them the benefit of the doubt, that's honor. That's something where you honor them even though you disagree. Mm-hmm. You know, as parenting, we see that all the time, right? Our kids mm-hmm. don't always agree with us, but we expect them to honor us. And I think that comes out of trust. And so I value trust, I greatly value trust. And I also strive to live as a pastor to be trustworthy because I realize, you know, that's where really effective leadership comes from, you know. And you're going to guide people even if they don't trust you. You pray that they would still follow. But mm-hmm. So that's one of the biggest tensions is as we work through differences is that you maintain that trust. Trust not in the fact that you agree. Right? Does that make sense? I personally don't think that I can still trust you, even though I may not agree with you. And so, right. that's one thing I work really hard at. You know, you nurture that, and so that's one of the things that I'm always aware of. You know, and that the biblical foundation that trust is founded on, you always go back to that because you can't really argue that.
Let's play this out practically. Let's say that you go to your church, and this is just. This is totally just made up. Well, it's kind of made up. That there's maybe a certain
sort of.
Area in Tonawanda that maybe a couple churches want to come together and help minister to and maybe support either a church plant or a ministry launch or something in a specific area. And let's say you come to your church and say, hey, there's an Assembly of God church we want to partner with to reach this area. What are some of the very real hurdles that you might face if something like that were to happen?
Well, I think it begins with understanding.
Yeah.
You know, I think my experience is I make a lot of assumptions, a lot of assumptions. And a lot of them, even yesterday sitting down with you, what's interesting is our church mission statements are exactly the same, not in wording.
Yours and Josh's.
Ours and Josh's. Thank mm-hmm. you. Yeah. We were talking Yeah, it was actually, I was like, wow, that's our mission statement. Oh, ironic, isn't it? You know, yeah. Here we're trying to come together and we're both working and striving for the same
thing. Without having really built any relationship or spoken to each other, there was no cross-pollination before that.
None.
Except a lot of web searching, you know.
Yeah, but, stalking, yeah.
No. Oh, his
church mission statements on the Googles.
That's mine.
So I believe it begins with an understanding, and that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
And I will have the responsibility as a leader to bring our people who are often thinking that I'm abandoning the faith if I even entertain the thought.
Yeah.
Of associating. I'm not so much now. It used to be more that way.
Yeah.
Now I think things are actually changing.
Yeah.
Culturally, it's changing. People understand this. So I think it begins with understanding. And I'm learning, and I want to understand more, and I can't wait to have more. In fact, I said to him yesterday, I'd love to do this like every week or every other week. Mm-hmm. You know, John Sherholtz, I'd love to get together with him on a, you know, and we've met together over breakfast.
John's
so.
The pastor at Kenmore Alliance.
I think that was a radio plea. Like, John, if you're out there, John, I want lunch.
No,
lunch.
I valued Shut our up. Time together. Because I'm understanding more. Yeah. And I think that the more I understand, the more I actually see the reality versus the assumption.
One of the things that keeps, and we talked about this, I think, previously, I don't know if it was last week or maybe earlier in this show, we talked about the example that this sets. And I keep thinking of politics and how for so many years, people of differing opinions, whether it be socially or fiscally or whatever, do the same thing. And I think our country's been crying for people to come together and solve issues, regardless of differing. And nobody's asking anybody to change their mind on how to do it. It's just, can we just get together and rally around some things we do believe in? And what an example the church can be to personal life and politics, Ryan.
Yeah. No, I think, again, just thinking about the listener, you know, some of the examples we shared prior to the last break, I want to give another example of, like, okay, what are some of the hurdles, right?
Okay, sure.
So a good case study that we have in Western New York is, hey, let's plant a church together. What would it look like if we planted a church together? Okay. Well, let's have that conversation. All right, well, we're thinking, here's the guy or the leader that we're thinking of planting, okay? Okay, great. We're sitting around a table with, let's just say, 10 or 12 other churches, and we say, hey, we feel that God has raised up this individual to lead a church plant that we all are wanting somehow, some way to be connected to. Is everybody in agreement with that? Yeah, we're okay. That sounds great. Okay. Now listen, that person is going to spiritually align themselves with this denomination. Okay, it could be Baptist, it could be Wesleyan, it could be a reform network like Acts 29, it could be Assemblies of God, it could be Free Methodist, you know, which are all over the spectrum of difference. Is everybody okay with that? Well, in some cases, in partnership, some people might say, you know what, I'm for what you're doing, but I just can't right now, denominationally, I can't get behind that. Hey, that's fine. How about everybody else? Everybody else feeling good? We're going to move forward in that. Okay, great. Now, that individual who maybe the issue comes up where they can't align, there's a way you could look at it and get all mad about it or frustrated, or you could say, you know what, it's not no, it could be just not yet,
mm-hmm.
right? That their denomination or their people, they just need to see where this is going at another level. Okay, great. Well, that next iteration gets to, okay, we've got a leader, we've got a denominational spiritual oversight. Then the basic reality is like, okay, how are we financially going to fund this? How are we going to get this church off the ground? Well, okay, so for the free let's just say that the individual planting the church is male and more reformed, okay? Mm-hmm. So, hey, Free Methodist friends, are you okay with kicking money into a general fund to help this guy get his church off the ground? You are? Okay, great. Now, right there, denominationally, there's a major difference in you know, kind of right. second-handed stuff, but distinctive stuff. There's a difference there, and yet we've seen that happen. You know, that situation where, you know, a non-denom or a Methodist or more of an Arminian like Free Will has come and said, I'll help that Baptist church. I'll help that Reformed church. And so these things, these are very real conversations that happen. There are times when people say, you know, that outsider who said, you know, I can't support this financially, but here's what I can do. I can commit to pray for this church. I mean, there's all levels of partnership that kick in at that point in time. Now, where we're at today in that world of planting, just as an example, is we got a lot more skin in the game today than we did 8 years ago.
Right.
God's allowed us to plant a lot of churches, and now there's a collective of churches coming together saying, and we want to plant more churches together.
Ryan, let me ask you this, and maybe even our two pastor guests can talk about this. What are some of the very, let's just get real, what are some of the very real risks involved in doing what we're doing here?
Yeah, so, you know, to the example of the plant, it may not work.
Right, and then churches go back and say, we put this money in, and then they have to egg on their face in front of their congregations?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, or, you know, there's a trust that the spiritual oversight of that denomination or that network is going to make sure that they steward the spiritual integrity of that expression of the Bride of Christ well. Mm-hmm. And let's say it doesn't meet the expectation of a partner in there. Well, that's a very real conversation that could happen. Have we run into that? Not yet, mm-hmm. but could we run into that? Absolutely. Sure. Unfortunately, there could be a falling.
Yeah.
You know, the reality is a number of us, we've been in ministry long enough, mm-hmm. and we've seen people get disqualified for things. That sucks when it happens.
It does.
Have I seen that happen? Yep, I've mm-hmm. seen that happen. Does it set back the partnership? Well, here's what's really unique about that. In most cases, no. Because there's a relationship there, and we feel like we represent the Church of Western New York. Mm-hmm. And doggone it, it stinks that person got disqualified. And we're really bummed about that. But our hearts were in it. Our desire to see the kingdom advance was in it. And those relationships remain strong. It may present a challenge to the next plant that we endeavor mm-hmm. to do, stuff like that. I mean, those are all very real things that can happen. Another one would be, well, how is the governance model? What's the governance model? And are we okay with right. how decisions are made? That stuff comes up from time to time. I mean, you know, certain denominations in particular feel like they have the only model of governance that the Bible presents. And our pastor wrote a really interesting position paper on models of governance. And, you know, his thought in that is like, well, if you want to talk about governance of a church, which model do you want to talk about that's in the Bible? You know, it's like
there's a lot of ways.
There are. And so, but these are very real for a listener right now to know that these are things that can happen, that these are the real issues that we run into. And fortunately, we've had conversations escalate from time to time. But by and large, no, it's not been a huge problem, even though it's not always been 100% successful.
Josh, how does partnering with a church, let's say like Grace, that's in the same town as you're in, miles apart, mm-hmm. How does that look someday? Like, how does that look in practicality? Is it just you guys get together and share war stories, or is it the kind of thing where you partner together for a church, or is it just simple stuff?
I think it's all those things. Because it's multi-level, it's multi-valuable. Talking about what we've done, I think, Ryan, you mentioned this either this week or last week when we were together. There's so much more that we can do. There's a lot more ground to cover. But simply for me, what it looks like is every Thursday morning, I get together with two other pastors, and we're inviting other people to be a part of that. Early in the morning, and we pray, and occasionally we'll talk about what's going on in our church. Occasionally there'll be some more stories, or we'll stop after we pray and say, let's, you know, one or two of us, let's break off and just talk because I need to talk to somebody. But the purpose of that meeting is to pray over what God would do in our geography, specifically an area in our neighborhoods that we want to plant a church together. Mm. And we have said there is a place that needs a great gospel witness. Many of our churches have reached out into that place, but we recognize there needs to be a church geographically located there. And we've talked about those opportunities to do that. And we are getting together and saying, okay, God, what would this look like? We're going to pray until we see this come to fruition. That's one of the things that we've done.
Well, and here's what's fascinating about this. That conversation is part of a larger narrative that's happening in Western New York, where not just representatives in Tonawanda and Grand Island, that particular geography is more Tonawanda that you're speaking to. God's raising up other churches to say, wow, that's an interesting idea. Let's prayerfully consider how collectively we can contribute to making that happen.
Hmm.
And that's just, to be honest, like I've dreamt for this day. I've dreamt for these types of conversations to happen. And I'm seeing the fruit of investment and partnership. Make it so. I feel like William Shepard. Make it so. Mm-hmm. But that this conversation is happening. There's resources pooled. There's conversations to be had, and there's the manifestation of that could actually happen.
Pastor John Longwell from Grace Church, what you're just getting into the Christ Together Network. It's all like drinking from a fire hose in a way. What would you say to some, maybe there's a pastor listening, maybe there's someone who's a leader in their church and who's been dying to kind of get engaged in something like this. What advice, having been on both sides, really kind of been a part of a church and as a pastor, part of a church that's done some good things, but generally alone or with other like-minded denominational churches, now kind of branching into more coming together with the greater body to do some good. What advice do you have for a pastor or a leader or someone in a church?
Well, it would simply begin by realizing that we're not the only ones doing this and that we don't have to do it alone. This is not a competition. Mm-hmm. And for so long, I've always had a very competitive perspective of our church, with the community, and that, you know, we're on the same team and out of with the same passion and the same mission. And, you know, I guess that's personally, that's one thing I need to remember, that there are other team players out there that I have avoided.
Yeah.
And
I want you to hold on to that because when we come back from the break, let's talk about the very real issue of maintaining your local congregation financially, spiritually, otherwise, and some of the underlying risks that pastors think about when this stuff starts getting real. So we're going to get real. So stick with us. Christ Together Radio, coming back in just a minute.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on His mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm your host, Brett Larson, General Manager of WDCX, along with co-host Ryan Cozy, who is the pastor of missional engagement at the chapel at Cross Point. And we have a couple of pastors who are guests with us in studio today. If you have a question for us, or if you have a question for any or about anything you've heard on Christ Together Radio, or for anybody who's been on here, email us at ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com. Or check out our website, wdcxradio.com, and go under programs, and you can find Christ Together Radio under there, along with a whole bunch of other stuff that's all about WDCX on that site. And we'd be happy to answer your questions or have you along for the ride of Christ Together Radio. Before we took the break, Pastor John Longwell was talking about some real issues, or at least he kind of led us down that road, just about maybe some of the insecurities or some of the realities that we have to look at as a local church pastor with a local congregation, with bills to pay, with a staff, with a building, and some of the very real insecurities about joining together with other churches. Are they going to like that pastor better? Are they going to like that context of ministry better? Am I going to lose everybody to, you know, it's Christ Together Network, and if I mention I'm praying for this church on a Sunday morning, are a bunch of people going to check it out and I'm going to lose people? I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. Josh, that's reality?
Absolutely reality. Yeah. I think the idea, though, is that we have to decide what the win is. And if it's gaining more people in our church brand, then we've missed the point. And, you know, if you think about a body, like Paul describes the body of Christ, many of the things that you find in there might not be available in your church, in terms of leadership and resources. And when I say your church, your local expression,
right,
whatever that is. And we need to get out of a mindset that says, I need to gather to me, or we need to gather to us because it makes us feel good, because we feel like we're doing something well. And we need to get into the mindset of, we need to gather for Christ. And how do we do that in a way that builds the body of Christ, not just in our local expression? But it costs. I mean, there's times where I'm thinking through, okay, you know, you get done at a day in the office and you get that call and somebody's going to a church that's part of my Christ Together Network. Yeah. And they're there. And that first, you know, because I'm an American and I pastor in America, and, you know, we've been given models of success that talk about money and people, You know, I have to wrestle with that. Yeah. And that's a constant, maybe even work of the enemy to beat me up on that. You're not doing what God asked you to do because somebody transferred their membership. Mm. But then I also think about, okay, what have we partnered around? What are the things that really matter to us? And what does my relationship look like with that pastor of that Christ Together church? And let's make a phone call. Let's talk about, I think, Ryan, you mentioned that, a good handoff or a good transfer.
Mm.
Because what's really the win for the kingdom? Now, that being said, I also have to wrestle with, what does church discipline look like? And what does it look like if they're leaving in a bad way? What does it look like if they're leaving in a good way? What if it's, you know, something silly and really we need to just sit down and talk? I mean, there's all these things that come up. Mm-hmm. But it's also great to have guys around you that you can call and make those types of conversations with happen. Mm.
Mm. Now, is it okay, maybe Pastor John can answer this, or Ryan even can jump in here. Is it still okay, though, to work hard at building a church so that you can build resources, build influence, and do more for the kingdom in a local expression? I mean, is that, I mean, because it's kind of this, there's this, it's, I think, a healthy tension, yeah, of working together, but still working hard at what you do.
Well, that's what I signed up for 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Is I committed my life to this. And I committed my life to this. And so every day I get out of bed, my passion, more than anything else, is how am I going to grow this local body of believers? How are we going to grow not only individually, spiritually, but so that they can reproduce their faith, mm-hmm, in someone else? Right. So it is very personal. It's the passion for the mission of Christ, and that's kind of changed a little bit, in that it's become more the passion of Christ.
And I think there's value. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong that the prayer of a leader's heart would be, Lord, would you grow us? Would you give us influence? Mm-hmm. Would you give us domain? Provided that when you get it, your hands are wide open. That there's that you know, and yeah, that's just been a lesson that a missiologist that I have a relationship with, Dwight Smith, mm-hmm, just talked about. Living with open hands, that you would steward the influence that you have with open hands. If you become that collecting kind of harvester of growth and development, and you have no desire to relinquish it or release it back into the lostness of your geography, so that you can make a you can make an impact. You know, I just think, well, let's check, you know, our alignment with, you know, what the scriptures say, you know. So for me, I think that the man or the woman leader that's praying and asking God to grow their influence and grow their impact in the region, so that they can steward that well and live with open hands. I think that that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it really goes to anything as a Christian leader, or as maybe a Christian businessman, or whatever. You play by a different set of rules, essentially, and it's almost counterintuitive to what, Josh, what you were saying, what culture tells us in America is work hard so you can get, so you can succeed. So, you know, and leaders really need to work hard so that others can succeed.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And that's good leadership, is actually working, celebrating other people's wins. And I think when we do that, when we live with open handedness, I've even experienced that in my own life, my own leadership here at WDCX. When we live more open handed and just kind of trust the results to God, we work hard at what we do. We do the best we can, because everything we do the best we can, but we trust God for the results. We trust him to supply the increase. It's just to supply the resources to do what we're going to do. I feel like it almost like releases a tension. It releases a pressure, and it just lets God figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're not clueless in the process, but I think that's kind of a special place to be.
The way I heard that described to me, and it's a picture that's really been valuable to me. There was a CEO, and I wish I could find the article. He said, my job as a CEO is not to be the biggest tree in the forest. He said, my job as a CEO, if we want to accomplish what our mission is for our business, is to create a greenhouse where every person in our organization can grow to the greatest height that they're able to grow. Mm-hmm. He goes, because if I grow, I'm going to shadow people out. You can't get other trees to grow when I'm taking up all the airspace. But if we build a greenhouse where everybody's able to grow, then the body, and transfer that to Christian world, then the body is able to give expression to the greatest amount to the gifts that God's given them.
Yeah.
And I think that's super compelling.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just again, speaking to the region and some of the things that happen, it's clear to me that on some of the things that I've seen firsthand God do over the last number of years, and I'm not just talking about our local church, I'm talking about partners, kingdom partners, representatives of the Church of Western New York. Those things that I've seen happen where I've just been, Lord, I'm just blown away by what I just saw. Mm-hmm. I look at every one of those leaders, and the word picture I would describe is they took their influence, they took their resources, they took their domain, and they came in, and their hands were wide open. And it was when their hands were wide open that we saw something that collectively we couldn't have done individually. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it's, you know, again, the target being that God is on a mission. We want to join him on his mission so that we can see the full saturation of the gospel happen in this region, that every knee would bow, that every yeah. tongue would confess yeah. on this side of eternity so that we can worship him. That's what we want to see. And it's those kingdom stewards that live with open hands. They're the ones that God is using to change the landscape of this region.
Let's get practical with people listening today, because you know, there's pastors and Christian leaders in the room and talking to other pastors and Christian leaders in a way. But there's people listening who are struggling to pay their bills this week, or who are on the verge of divorce in their marriage, or who are dealing with a crisis with maybe a kid who they don't know where he is tonight. And they're having a really rough time. What's some of the ways that modeling this can help them in their life? Maybe I'll ask Pastor John to answer this to start out. What's something they can learn from people coming together to work together for the sake of the kingdom? I mean, what does this accomplish as an example?
Well, that's one thing I'm growing in my understanding, that we can't do it all. Mm-hmm. And Ryan, you just said that. We can't do it all. There are things that we as Grace Church cannot do because of limited resources, but due to the fact that we don't know how, you know. But there are other churches in the area that do things very well, and I would assume it's vice versa. So I need to know, number one, who are they and how are they, what are they doing, and to share just those resources, you know, whether it be divorce recovery, or I know addiction. Mm-hmm. I know Kenmore Alliance has an addiction program, and I'm thinking to myself, why would I want to start one in our church if they do it so well?
Right.
We need to partner with them, and I'm seeing it from a practical sense. We need to be more willing to, instead of duplicating everything and requiring, you know, multiple levels of resources, just use the resources that are already there.
So even within a local church context, someone going through some issues, maybe they need to learn to trust other people that are around them.
Absolutely.
And bring people into their conversations,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Josh. I think, you know, as Americans, we tend to focus on our family, and we tend to, you know, stay within our houses. We're not in our neighborhoods. We're not engaged. Even within the church, there's opportunities to, you know, to engage, and we don't take those. Or there are no opportunities, and we don't create them. And I think even in terms of Christ Together, somebody decided, hey, we got to do something different. And Ryan, you guys at the chapel have done a phenomenal job of championing that invitation to come and gather around something different. And you've done a great job of living with open hands and demonstrating that. And I know you want to grow in that, but you've done a great job. And so I want to honor you guys for that.
Yeah.
But at some point, somebody has to decide, I'm going to do something.
Right.
And so as a pastor, a leader, a business owner, a church member, somebody who lives in your neighborhood, you got to say something's not right with what's going on, and I've got part of the solution. I must do something. And then simply just like the other things, build some relationships. You're going to have to buy somebody food. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to take some people out to lunch. You're going to have to make some cookies for your neighbor. You're going to have to take the resources mm-hmm. that you have
right.
and somehow apply that to building relationship. You have to send an email to the pastor down the street and say, hey, listen, I live in your neighborhood. I go to another church, but how can I serve the mission that God has for you in this neighborhood?
Yeah.
I'm three doors down from your church. How can I serve you? And then actually do something about it. Do you know what I mean? But it costs. It costs a little bit, but if we decide, it's possible.
Yeah, and you know, to pull it back, like for the person driving around saying, "I need help with my marriage. Mm-hmm. I need help with bills. I don't know what I'm going to do." Here's what I would say: like what I've personally taken from watching churches work together is that it's like for churches do this. Churches say it's okay to ask for help. Mm-hmm. There right. are churches in our region that say, you know, I don't even know the first thing about doing this, or I don't even know the first thing about this crisis. I need help. And they can pick up the phone and they can ask for help. So if you're driving around and you're under liquid debt of $7,000, $8,000, $10,000, $12,000, $20,000, it's okay to ask for help. And I think that the easiest place that you can begin to ask for help, my hope would be, is that you would be connected to a local church that can get you some of that help. That's a part mm-hmm. of why we exist. Mm-hmm. But what I have seen over the last 8 to 10 years is that when we acknowledge that not one of us can do this alone, mm-hmm. but that we mm-hmm. really need help, that is the narrative that I think is changing the landscape of this region is that the churches are saying, hey, collectively, we can get the help that we need from one another. Yeah. If you're out there today and your marriage is, you know, in massive trouble, number one, people in the body of Christ, it's not that they can't relate to you. They can. And the success stories start with people that said, I need help. And the churches are asking for help amongst one another, and we can ask for help. You can ask for help in your situation, too.
That is absolutely great advice. I love the way we're kind of winding down the show today in that way. Pastor John Longwell, lead pastor of Grace Church in Tonawanda. Website?
GraceOnEggert.com.
Grace on Eggert, two G's in Eggert, GraceOnEggert.com. Services are on Sundays.
10:30 a.m.
10:30 is on 2525 Eggert Road in Tonawanda. Pastor Josh Hamlin, lead pastor of New Covenant. Website?
www.nctag, as in New Covenant Tabernacle, ag.org. And we meet Sunday morning, 8:45 and 10 o'clock.
Where at?
At 345 McConkie in Tonawanda.
Right near the 290.
Yep, Delaware. Right off Brighton.
Yep, okay, gotcha. So literally churches a mile and a half apart, two different denominations, pastors getting together, breaking bread. Ryan, it's got to kind of feel good that, you know, years ago you kind of started on this mission, and this is starting to even, it's been happening, and it's starting to happen with the most difficult cases like John Longwell. I'm just kidding.
No, it's true.
No, but it's really starting to saturate our region, and we just have a minute left, but tell me how that feels.
Yeah, it feels good. I mean, there are times where I've walked out of meetings, and I'm actually getting ready to go to one right now, and just going, man, this is unbelievable, but there's times where I want to pinch myself and go, man, Lord, I can't believe this. Here, my prayer has been that Satan would not interrupt this, but that we as men and women that are leading congregations, that we would steward our lives and our leadership domain well so that God may be glorified, that we would live lives of purity, lives of integrity, lives of character, so that there would be just an integrity in front of those that we're trying to lead.
Christ Together Radio, thanks for listening today. The last 2 weeks, we've had Pastor John Longwell, Pastor Josh Hamlin, Ryan Cozy, my co-host on Christ Together Radio. Let's just pray to end the show real quickly, and we'll get you guys on your way. It's been a busy day. God, we're so thankful for the opportunity we have to work together for the sake of your gospel. Thank you for your redemption mission from the fall of man in Genesis, Lord. You've been on a mission to redeem us, and we just praise you for that, and we thank you for that. Thank you for men who are willing to stand up and put it all on the line for you, whether it be, take bullets from people in their congregation or whatever, Lord, because of the sake of the gospel. We're just so thankful for men who are willing to do that and men who are willing to lead that charge. We ask for your grace and your favor in this area. In your name, amen. Check us out on WDCXradio.com under Programs, Christ Together Radio, and we'd love to see you next week, 11 a.m. on Sundays.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.